Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Confusion about gender identity is much in the news, as is the ongoing controversy over illegal immigration. How should the church face issues like transgenderism and refugees entering the country? Today, some answers for a church living in a pagan land. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Pastor Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. With his guest, Pastor Larry McCarthy, Pastor Lutzer continues discussing his book, The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to Be a Light in the Darkness.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm so glad that you have joined us. You know, my friend, we are living at a time when we are dealing with issues that many of us never even heard of a couple of decades ago. And I've written the book entitled The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to Be a Light in the Darkness. I frequently say that it is my legacy book. It deals with issues, for example, such as transgenderism and immigration and other issues and five false gospels within the evangelical church. I do have to tell you that this book represents my heart for the church in America today, and I'm praying that God will use it not just to wake us up, but to give us some hope and some direction in our culture. Well, joining me today here in the studio is Pastor Larry McCarthy. Pastor McCarthy is pastor of Compassion Ministries here at the Moody Church, the senior ministry and local outreach. So you can see with his responsibilities, he is a very busy man, but he's taken out time to join me here so that we could have this discussion. Well, Larry, today the topic is transgenderism, and we have to tread carefully, don't we?
Amen. You dropped us in the deep end of the pool here, but I'm so glad that you're addressing the topic. In fact, Pastor, you use a term in this book and in this chapter that, I'd never really heard of, transableism.
Transableism, yeah. We'll get to that in just a second. I want to just preface this by saying that what we have to do when we talk about this is to speak with a great deal of compassion.
Yes.
And I might say to parents out there, if your child comes to you and says, you know, I think that I'm transgender, or perhaps that I'm interested in same-sex relationships, what those children need, and adults as well, is a safe place where these issues can be discussed. Because I'm sure you've experienced, Larry, that if all that we do is condemn people,
yes,
it just drives them further into the lifestyle.
The family and the home should be a place where it's safe to share, as well as the church. And thank you for saying that.
And you know, I know someone who has a transgender son who's actually quite an old man now, not an old man, but he certainly has grown up. And, you know, when I talk to parents like that who are confused, some of them are embarrassed, many of them don't know what to say, it is an area in which we need a great deal of sensitivity. And I might say to those who are listening, if you are transgender, this is a very important lesson for you to listen to. And for those of you who are parents, and you're encountering this issue in the school, and your child says, you know, why can't somebody use a different bathroom? You know, here's a boy, but he identifies as a girl. Why can't he go into the girls' washroom? That's why I dealt with this issue in the book.
What is the crux of this issue?
Here's the way in which I see it. Of course, in the chapter, I discuss doctors who point out how destructive it is if you have gender reassignment surgery.
Yes.
It's really the wrong thing. And I could talk about that because here at the church many years ago, we had a seminar on sexuality, and there's a couple that experienced that and so forth. I won't go into it, but it's a huge, huge topic. But here's the crux. You mentioned earlier trans-age, or was it trans-ableism? You mentioned trans-ableism. Okay,
yes.
Trans-ableism is the idea that I have a part of my body that isn't really me. It doesn't really belong to me. So in the book, I talk about a man, for example, who had his arm amputated. And he said he studied amputation in such a way that he knew he could not reassign it later. He had to do it completely, and it could never be reversed. Why did he have a healthy arm taken off? It's because he felt that the arm was really not a part of his body. Now, Larry, I'm asking you this question. Did he have a body problem or did he have a mind problem?
It's a mind problem, certainly.
Yeah. And now another one, trance age. Paul Wolschut, I have a reference to him here in the book. He's a man who's 52 years old when this was written, and he identifies as a six-year-old girl. Oh, we live in an interesting society, don't we?
Yeah.
You'd think that we were making this up. But anyway, he identifies as a six-year-old girl. So he's playing with dolls, and he has a mommy and a daddy. Now, once again, I'm asking you, Larry, does he have a mind problem or does he have a body problem?
He has a mind problem.
He has a serious mind problem.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Those who are into transgenderism and are saying, you know, I have to be true to who I am. Mm-hmm. I deal with that in the book, don't I?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so forth. There's also those who are saying that anorexia should not be considered as something abnormal. In other words, if a person wants to starve himself to death, if a woman looks in the mirror and she sees herself as overweight, when in point of fact, she is thin and on her way to starvation, does she have a mind problem or does she have a body problem?
Yeah, that's a mind problem.
It's a mind problem. And so somebody who grows up as a man, he has the genetic makeup of a man, he has the physiology of a man. If he says, well, you know, I actually identify as a woman, does he have a mind problem or a body problem?
Yeah. We as the church in the body of Christ, we certainly want to accept people, but we can't approve the lifestyle. How do we navigate that, Pastor?
Well, you know, that you've asked an excellent question that I can't just answer just immediately in a single sentence or two, because it depends. In a case like this, if a person says, and while I'm on it,
yes,
to the parents, let's suppose that your boy comes to you and says, you know, I think I'm gay. I actually identify as gay because I'm attracted to other boys and not to girls. One of the things that you have to tell him is, unless God delivers him from this, he has to be committed to a life of celibacy. You know, in this chapter, and that may be true also of those who say that they are transgender, because we cannot enter into illicit sexuality. That crosses a line that brings about guilt and regret and anguish and betrayal and all kinds of things.
Yes.
And in this book, I quote Isaiah 56. Now, I don't have the passage before me, but what God says there to the eunuch, and I think that in principle, this applies to people who are committed to celibacy.
Okay.
God says, I am going to say this, that if you are faithful to me, I will give you an inheritance that is better than children. And God goes on to give a special blessing to the celibate. I think that in our churches today, one of the things that we have to do is, no matter how important marriage is, there are some people who should not be married for a variety of reasons, you know, whether or not they're transgender or gay or whatever. There are some people that should not marry, and we need to simply accept this and hard discipleship for those who love Jesus Christ and want to follow him. That life of discipleship for some people involves being celibate. And God gives a special blessing to those who are willing to do that. And the Apostle Paul and Jesus, they were not married. So the idea that you have to marry or somehow you are a lesser person unless you marry, that may be part of our culture, but that is not part of the scripture. So one of the ways in which we navigate this is to give people counsel regarding how they should live, unless, of course, God is pleased to change their minds, because we've identified it as a mind problem, not a body problem. And above all, do not have gender reassignment surgery, which is irreversible, because the consequences of that are really, really long term. So parents, church leaders, What we have to do is to be able to navigate this culture in such a way that we are helping the sexually broken. And we need to invite everybody to Jesus, don't we, Larry?
We do indeed. And I'd love that we dare to emphasize the blessing of celibacy.
Yeah. And I think that that is an important thing for us to do so that people realize that no matter where you are on your sexual spectrum, so to speak, cry up to God for help, for strength. If you find that these desires are still within you, they are not going away, whether it's transgenderism or same-sex attraction, what you do is you say, I am committed as a disciple of Jesus Christ to live a life of celibacy to the honor and the glory of God. That is so critical. And to a world that has lost its way, to a world that is broken, and we're all broken to some extent, obviously, the words of Jesus come to my mind, and they are so relevant when he says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest. We have a Savior who with open arms welcomes all people, no matter who you are listening to this. He welcomes all people to himself and says to a nation that has lost its way and to an individual who is confused about their own sexuality, I'm here for you.
Yes.
And we have to ultimately always invite them to a Savior who's qualified to save us. And thank God that we have someone who can help us in the midst of our great needs.
Boy, well said. This puts us on a collision course with the culture, though, where this whole thing seems to embody an attitude, I am what I think.
That's right. And ultimately.
Where I think I am, then that's what I will be.
And what we need to do is to say, no, you are who God says you are.
Yes.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer with Larry McCarthy, discussing Pastor's new book, The Church in Babylon. Next time on Running to Win, facing the intense battle over immigration.
You know, I think in today's world, as we've already emphasized, we have these issues such as transgenderism that we have to deal with. And as a church, I'm deeply convinced that we should not back away. These are matters about which we should not be silent. So we've talked about transgenderism. Let's go on to another topic that I deal with in the book that also is controversial. It's the topic of immigration. Well, as you know, of course, it's hotly debated in today's culture. And actually, in this chapter, I don't necessarily deal with specifics as to how I think the whole immigration issue can be dealt with. And obviously, there is a lot that needs to be done to streamline the process, but that's not where my heart is. My heart, Larry, is to emphasize that immigration is very important to Islam. And then what we're going to do is talk about the role of the government and then the role of the church.
Yeah.
And so I begin quite extensively, don't I, talking about the Muslims, and I should say Islam specifically, because to it, immigration is more important than terrorism.
The Church in Babylon book can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.